through part one of a series, and it's called Life Hacks. It's that screen right up there and right out there. Life Hacks. There we are. The phrase life hacks has crept into the English language to where the dictionary even includes a definition. A life hack is an action that solves a problem. It simplifies a task, or it reduces the frustration in our everyday life. A life hack is a strategy adopted in order to manage one's time and their daily activities in a more efficient way. A life hack is a simple technique, and it's used to accomplish some familiar tasks more easily. Better said, a life hack is a kind of a shortcut with the intent to simplify everyday life. Everybody likes shortcuts. How do we end up with the microwave oven? And why? Because people wanted shortcuts. Stick it in the oven and wait. How'd you get your cell phone? People got tired of doing the dial and then the push button. They wanted to bring it with them and take it everywhere. It's shortcuts. Our next slide says the picture illustrated in this slide is the Longleat Hedge Maze. It's located in the garden of the Longleat Estate near the town of Warminster, England. It was first designed in 1975, and it's the world's longest hedge made. The maze is made up of more than 16,000 English yew trees, forming 8-foot-tall hedges and creating a 1.7 miles of tricky pathways, including several dead ends. Next slide. As a point of interest, the maze is so complex it can take over 90 minutes just to walk through it. And that's if you don't keep getting lost. And for this reason, it includes 6 raised bridges from which you can get a better vantage point and hopefully find the shortcut to the central observation tower, which also doubles as the exit. Could you imagine looking at that? You almost get dizzy. Each bridge is like a life hack for every visitor who can find them. And when considering such a thought, I want you to consider, wouldn't it be wonderful if God himself would give us a life hack or a life hacks manual to help us to negotiate the twists and the turns of life, to help us to make better decisions, to give us a better vantage point in any one of our life circumstances, and to help us to please him better. We all know the saying, when mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. And it'd be nice to make these life hacks in the spiritual world where we please God, we do what he wants, and he helps us to navigate. So here's some good news. If we or you are willing to look for them and to take the time to study the very book that we hold dear, known as our Bible, the Bible that God has given to us. Starting tonight, as we begin to explore the study on life hacks, together we're going to begin to seek ways for us to live a more productive and effective life for God, as we take a deeper look into the book of the Bible called Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs is full of its strategies and skills that'll help to reduce our frustrations, believe it or not, to solve everyday problems, believe it or not, and to even simplify your life. Within the pages of the book of Proverbs, you'll find that it contains several hundred wise sayings that King Solomon wrote or collected. In the book of 1 Kings, you'll find where the writer writes, and some of these are just for reference, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. See, too often when reading our Bibles, and more specifically concerning the book of Proverbs, you might have heard this at times. Sometimes if you're feeling sad and you're needing some encouragement, I tell people, go to the book of Psalms. And if you want to look at some life principles and stuff, turn to the book of Proverbs. But when we go through the reading the book of Proverbs, which is our study's focus, as we breeze through the chapters, we can so easily, I want you to catch this, you can so easily miss out on the nuggets of wisdom that are wrapped up within its pages. You ever read your Bible or even listen to a Bible app on an audio, or maybe read it and follow along as you're listening? And you know what it does? Next chapter. Okay, go back to the first chapter. What is the third verse of that chapter? What did it say? I don't know. I just read it. I listened to it, okay? That's good enough for me. That's not. There's so much within the pages of our Bible that would help us to navigate, help you to stay away from pitfalls and struggles and troubles. And Proverbs is absolutely loaded with its wisdom. Solomon was the son of King David, and he was the third king of Israel. Solomon was noted as being the wisest and wealthiest man to ever live. It was Solomon who had ruled over the golden age of Israel, when the nation lived in peace and in prosperity, when the glorious temple was constructed. It was a time when people from distant lands, they traveled to Israel just to hear Solomon's wisdom and to see his wealth for themselves. And it all started with one prayer. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Kings? First Kings chapter 3. It started with one prayer. First Kings chapter 3. I'm going to begin our reading tonight at verse number 9. It says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches, neither hast thou asked for life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." See, Solomon's prayer, I want you to know, it's reminiscent of something that Jesus himself taught. He taught us through the words of Matthew. If you want to turn to the book of Matthew, very familiar portion of Scripture. Book of Matthew. It's a lesson once learned. Go to chapter 6. If you learn it, it'll be what will enrich your life and it'll help you to keep you focused upon our final goal and our purpose. It's called heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Learn it, receive it, impart it in your mind, your thoughts, put it in the forefront of your life. Seek him first. You'll not only be enriched, but you'll be able to keep focused on that goal called heaven. Everybody wants God's blessings on their life, but not everyone is willing to follow his instructions to get it. And so they go about life the hard way, the long way, and the wrong way, when all the time God has provided us with life hacks that lead directly to his blessing. If you think about what I just said, and then you ask yourself this question: who is that you turn to when your life hits a roadblock? Where is it that you turn to for counsel when things are not working out for you in life? Do you turn to your friends, to your family, secular counselors? May I suggest that too often we turn to every other source and resource other than turning to your pastor or even to God in prayer. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist writes this: "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." Think about that. I don't seek the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of other people. When I hit a roadblock, I don't turn to the world. I don't run to the world. I get away from the world and run to God. Amen. Here we go. What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? God says, I've given you a pastor, a spiritual leader, a physical guide that you can turn to, and many don't. No, they don't. Now, why? I'll tell you why. Because maybe they really don't want to hear what he's got to say. Why? Well, because it'll likely be you who'll have to turn away from some of the things of these worldly things that maybe you're doing or you're getting involved in. You're going to need to start relying on God for the things that you need. Instead of relying on your worldly avenues of help. Avenues, shall I say, if you're not careful, they'll entrap you in a financial bind or in a pit. When we go the wrong way, the long way, when we circumvent our direct access, what happens? Pitfalls, troubles, struggles. However, after that, you know what? You can turn to God. God can help you if you just begin to pray and to call upon him, and God will direct your life's path. Think about it. Well, we prayed. Did not we pray? We said, Lord, bring somebody to a Wednesday night that hasn't been here. It was just yesterday. It was just Tuesday. That doesn't normally come on a Wednesday night. I got a phone call later in the morning, and a gentleman on the other side says, can you pick me up for church tonight? No. Stay out in the cold. What did Brother Holland talk about on Tuesday night, what he prayed for? What's God going to do? What is prayer going to do? Think, what in the world? How's it going to help us? You have not, because you asked not. Prayer. Why don't we turn to God? Why don't we look to God? Well, because he's distant and far off. No, he's as close, I've said this 1,000 times, as the mention of his name. God will direct your path. Do you ever pray when you travel and say, God, give us your traveling mercies, protect us, keep us from danger and harm? Why? What if you have an accident? Guess what? God will be right there with you. The book of Proverbs definitely leads the way when it comes to practical, useful tips for everyday life. And it's the greatest how-to book ever written. We're going to find that out. But as I said, we read it, we breeze through it. You might even think, it's the Old Testament writing. What can it have to do in order to help me to live my life more productively for God in this 21st century? Why don't you try first by taking the time to read through the Proverbs, and as you look for all, look for all, in fact, any nuggets of wisdom within it. You ever think about, you ever try this? Just do this sometime. Get a chapter and just read a couple of verses and pick out whatever you think that's a pinpoint, something that really speaks to you. Try that in the book of Proverbs. You won't even have to go very far. It'll start to speak to you. It'll start to speak to your present day. It'll start maybe even speak to your circumstance. The next slide. The Hebrew word for proverb means a comparison. A comparison because the short statements are meant to teach us how to choose, ready, between bad and good options, or maybe even between good and best options. But Proverbs are not written in paragraphs. They are concise statements of truth. When you go home tonight after we finish this study, just turn to any one of the chapters and just read a little bit. Somebody once said, a proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. You sit down with somebody who's been in church for a long, long time, and you're struggling and somewhere in your walk, and you say, man, I'm just going through this. I'm having this struggle. And they go, been there, done that. Yeah, walked that path, been down that road. Yep, fell into that ditch. Yeah, got myself out, cleaned myself. Yep, been on that mountaintop too. You're right. A proverb is a short sentence based on a long experience. The next slide. In life, wisdom comes from three sources. Wisdom comes from three sources. Next slide. Trial and error. Your personal experience can certainly be valuable, but you can waste much of your lifetime learning this way. Why? Why? Well, because you'll still have to live with the consequences of your mistakes. It's trial and it's error. It's hit and miss. Next one. How about counsel from others? Others. Proven experience can benefit you, as I just said, if you're willing to listen to their advice. And by doing so, you can avoid wasting years of time making unnecessary and sometimes tragic mistakes. Again, not worldly counsel, but godly counsel from those who maybe have been living for God for a number of years, and their witness and their character shows you that they are on the right track. And in certain circumstances, they'll be able to help you to navigate your issues of life, or maybe, as I said, it's time for you to seek your pastor's advice or counsel. And I know, pastor. And this is not a preempt to get you buzzing my phone, but just ask yourself, I just told you to consider, where do you go? Where do you go when you get in trouble? Well, I want to tell him, are you kidding? Condemnation. The Milton Bradley game. No. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How about number three? How do you get wisdom? Next slide. The Word of God. God created you. He knows His will for your life, and God's will is found in His Word. So even if you don't understand His ways at first, learning to obey God without question is something that will help you. Say, why again? Why? Because God who created you is the one who knows what's best for you. Nobody knows you like Jesus. Nobody can help you like Jesus can. Nobody can direct your life like the God that you serve. And we say, well, you know, I got my Bible. I get that, but it's just a book. No, it's more than just a book. It's a book called the Bible, the Word of God that is full of its wisdom and direction for your life to make you that you should never fall. Amen. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, if you do these things, it'll make you that you should never fall. Amen. Never. The fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh. Which way are you going to slide? Which way are you going to lean to? Which ones are you going to follow? Now, if you've already read through your Bible, maybe read it again. If you haven't never taken the time to read your Bible through, maybe start now. Tonight before bed, tomorrow before work, read your Bible, listen to an audio Bible, start learning what the Word of God has to say to you before you wish that you had and no longer can. You look at some of these communist countries, they'll take the Bible away from you. You'll go to jail if you possess a Bible. This is why the book of Proverbs is so important. The reason? Its subject is wisdom, and Solomon makes it very clear that obtaining wisdom is far superior to merely gaining knowledge or even gaining life experience. Knowledge is nothing more than an accumulation of facts. But wisdom, church, is the ability to see situations as God sees them. I guess you could say it this way. Next slide. Knowledge is perceiving with your mind, it's understanding God's world. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are higher and His thoughts are higher. And He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's world, the spiritual realm. You ever been going somewhere and maybe driving someplace and maybe you took a different detour or turn or maybe your ride was delayed or something in your life happened which kind of put you back and then you kind of maybe cursed the darkness for the light because you were pushed back? And yet God, through the spirit world, is what saved you. God spoke into your mind. God maybe directed you to do something different than maybe you never had done before or go a different way. And you say, well, why is that? Because it's that Spirit of God working in your life. You're understanding God's world. The next slide talks about wisdom. Do you know wisdom is receiving with your heart? It's obeying God's will. Someone said, knowledge is power. And that very well may be true, but wisdom is perspective. Knowing how to best use the knowledge that you have. See, it's all too easy, church, to be book smart, but not Bible wise. I can tell you the scores, I can tell you the players in the team, I can tell you all kinds of stuff, but Psalms 51, is that the plan of salvation? Is that where that's found? Genesis, well, never mind. I don't want to just be book smart. I read it through. Well, what did it say? I don't know. I want to be Bible wise because ultimately we can find God's eternal perspective in God's eternal word. And that's why you need daily interaction with your Bible. And see, this is something that's tough. We all have iPads, maybe iPod, computer. You have some kind of a form of technology. And you can get a Bible program. Quit meddling. You can get something that you can turn to and either read it or listen to it. You have a physical Bible. Hopefully, you just don't leave it somewhere on a shelf and forget about it. But every day, there's nuggets. Like I said, go to the book of Psalms. You want some encouragement? Go there. You want some understanding of people? Go Romans. Look at the Corinthians. Look at how Paul dealt with each one of the churches and each one of the areas that he walked through. Look at the Gospels. Look at all that Jesus did among the people. How his ministry grew. You can get so much and walk out of there and going, I never saw that before. I didn't. I never noticed that. Look at, I did that with my wife way, way long time ago in the back. Look at this. Remember we read in the last study about overcoming end time enemies and how to overcome, where Brother Woodward said, yeah, I looked at the scripture and I saw it a different way. There was somebody else I was talking to just last week, and the person said to me, you know what? I looked at the scripture and I never saw it in that fashion. Well, guess what? If you never read it, you've never seen it. And if you didn't take the time to stop and consider what you're reading, okay, I'm a sped reader. Okay, I just went through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and all the rest of it. What did it say? I don't know. I sped read. Eat it. Kind of absorb it. Wisdom is what will help you cope with life. Wisdom will help you in trying to cope with people. Why do not more pastors end up in the psych ward? Because they got the Holy Ghost and God helps them. Why do you not end up in the psych ward? Because the people you work with sometimes drive you right to the bin. But wisdom helps you to cope with them. Wisdom, once again, will help you to navigate through any one of your life circumstances. Be smart. You know what? Last time I did that and tried that, that was a trial and error. That was a bad move. Once burned, twice learned. I got it this time. I'm not going back into it. Proverbs, church, puts wisdom in context of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, which it's not dread, but it's about deference. What is deference? Deference is respectful submission to the will of God. It's a healthy sense of a reverence for God. Deference is a recognition of our place in God's universe. It's a moral mindset that recognizes I or we are not God. And that we don't get to make up our own definitions of right and wrong. You can get away with this. What does the Bible say? You can do this. Well, what does the Bible say? This doesn't matter. Well, what does the Bible say? Rather, we need to submit to God's word. You know what Jesus said? You've heard this quoted before. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. The words that I speak, that's going to judge you in the last day. It's good to know the rule book. It's good to understand God's perspective. It's good to understand deference, respectful submission to the will of God. Going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, if you'd like to turn there, church. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. To understand God and his ways, and not boogeyman fear, boo, scared and run, but a healthy reverence for God. So in our first lesson of this series tonight, I'm going to seek to show you a couple of bridges or vantage points that I believe will help you to negotiate the maze of the book of Proverbs. First, let's look at a helpful outline. In chapters 1 through 9, Solomon's introduction, and there's two important features. 10 speeches from a father to a son, and these are wise words shared from King David to his son. Solomon in a verbal form, and now being shared by Solomon with his own son in written form. You find 4 poems from Lady Wisdom. Proverbs personifies wisdom as a woman who invites us to eat from her table. However, many people eat from the table of the world, and they end up destroying their lives. Next slide says chapter 10 through 29, hundreds of ancient proverbs. Chapter 30 and 31, poems from Agar and King Lemuel. And let's consider a helpful observation. Next slide says, Proverbs are not promises. Listen to this. They're probabilities. They're likelihoods. They're chances. They are a prospect. They're even a nod. Next slide says, Proverbs focuses on the expected, not the exception. Next, Proverbs tells us what should happen, and not everything that could happen. It tells us what should happen, not everything that could happen. Proverbs 10 and 27, church. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. What do you get out of that scripture? There's safety in the arms of your Savior. Running away from the world, not to the world. Staying close to God. Staying under his wings. He said, how oft, he talked about in the Gospels, would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks under her brood, but you would not. Getting smart, knowing where to turn when you're under attack. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. How about Proverbs 22 and 6? Here's a hot title. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Are you listening? Likelihoods and possibilities, not promises. We're creatures of choice and not creatures of force. You know why you're here tonight on Wednesday night? Because if you weren't, at the end of the service, I've already got your name and your number, and I know where you live. If that's why you're here, you've got problems. We're creatures of choice. I chose to come to church. I choose to come to service. I choose to serve God. I choose to pray. I choose to be faithful. I choose to read my Bible. I choose to live a godly life. I choose to stay away from the wiles of the world. Not thou shalt not. For example, the general rule is serving God will result in a long, blessed life. And that teaching your children correctly will, in them serving God as well, should do the same. But we all know cases, pardon me, where this didn't happen. And that's why we need the whole counsel of the Word of God. As we learn about faithfulness, commitment, holiness, separation from the world, the whole counsel of God gives us the understanding of the principles and the precepts of God, etc. Not just do as I say, if this is not what you do. Acts 10:27 talks about the whole counsel of God. I grew up in a home, in an ungodly home. My childhood was not spent with anything to do with God. And my mother, as she would sit at the kitchen table and she'd light a cigarette, she'd say, "Don't you ever smoke. It's bad." Where did I put my lighter? Sat there in their parties at my parents' house, and they lived in separate homes, they were divorced, and at their parties, "Don't you ever get drunk and go drinking. That's bad for you. Go get me another beer." It's not, do as I say, and then I live a different life. I've been around people in the last 42 years and in ministry where people, they portray one thing at church, and then they go home, and it's a completely different story. Sometimes the parents grow horns as soon as they walk out the church doors. And sometimes they forget to take their horns off and they show up at church. But I'm going to live as an example. I'm going to do my best to give you an example. But guess what? Your children are going to grow up just like you did, and they're going to get to an age where the choice is theirs. You can grab them by the hair, scruff of the neck, and drag them into the church house. And as fast as they can get away from you, they will. Or they'll go, "You know what? You led by an example. And that's the example I want to follow." But guess what? We're creatures of a choice, and we're not creatures of force. So more specifically, we need to look at all the wisdom book. Pardon me, all the wisdom books together. All of them. Every one of them. All the wisdom books together. Next slide. Job's life, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that man. His life literally fell apart and he lost everything. But you read through the book of Job and he still served God faithfully. Job 13:15 and Job 23:10. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends said, "What did you do wrong?" And you know what he said? "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him." Yeah. In his life, Solomon experienced many depressing things. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he's the one that writes, "All is vanity." That's Ecclesiastes 12:8. All is vanity. But because Solomon was wise, he taught the people knowledge. Ecclesiastes 12:9. And Solomon concluded his writing with fear, the fear of God, and to keep his commandments in Ecclesiastes 12:13. They're just reference for you. So just because life throws you a curve, it doesn't mean that God dropped the ball. Let's face it, folks, life is not fair, but God is just. You don't have to raise your hand, but who's ever been fired from a job? Who ever been broke? Whose cupboard ever got empty? Whoever ended up in a car accident and didn't have money to fix it, and maybe didn't get collision coverage. Whoever ended up in a circumstance where you got in a whole lot of trouble, and yet you're living for God. You pay your tithe, and you're faithful to him, and financial struggles still come. Just because life throws you a curve doesn't... What is your problem? Who knows the mind of the Lord and who's able to instruct him? God is always just. And you know what? You keep your attitude right. You keep your nose to the grindstone. You stay within his word and under his precepts. God will get you out of it. And then you'll turn around and say, "Well, look what the Lord has done. Isn't that great?" Hey, yesterday you're ready to kick him out the back door and tell God not to come back. Yep. I got it written down. I'm going to tell you. You lost your job. Your finances are in the garbage can as far as your life is concerned. It feels like you go through one trial to another. One pitfall in life to another. This is not time to blame God. It's time to start by considering what it is that you may be doing wrong. Me. Yeah. As it's God who's trying to get your attention. Sometimes, do you know sometimes God allows stuff? We figure everything's on a gravy train. You know, you're good money, you've got food in the cupboard, you got a nice vehicle or whatever. Things are just going great, and all of a sudden, hot carpet! You haven't been praying. You haven't been turning to God. You haven't been reading your Bible. You're not as faithful to the church as you should be. You're not as committed in your giving. Oh. Ding, 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 ding. God says, I want your attention. Before you not only fail in your life, but you end up failing God. So many people, I hear people, if it wasn't for God, you'd be in a whole lot more trouble than you are right now. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all know that, but the just should learn in their times of rain to turn to God and not back to the world. Next slide. Solomon, in his writing the book of Proverbs, he wrote it as a book of instructions on how to live a godly life here on earth and how to be assured of a reward in the life to come. The book of Proverbs, it imparts God's wisdom. And for this reason, the Proverbs should not be read as promises. I hope you catch that. But rather as probabilities, precepts, principles of everyday life. These are possibilities. These are the odds. These things can surely happen. We sing that song, where should I go, where should I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Tell me, where should I go but to the Lord? As the pressures of life come crashing down on you, turn to God because he's a very present help in trouble. Your enemy, your adversary, he seeks to relentlessly sometimes come against you. And, well, what do you do then? Look to the Word of God where the Bible says when your enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What did Jesus tell the devil as he took him around to different places? Three words. Put up your hand if you know those three words. It is written. It's in the Bible. He'll lift up a standard against. You're preparing to make life decisions as to what you should do, where you should turn. Don't follow your flesh. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Talk to your pastor. That's why God gave you a man of God, not for the expression of worldliness, but for counsel that would hopefully would be godly. At the end of the day, the greatest wisdom of mankind is and will prove to be insufficient to deal with the issues of the heart. We don't know everything. We haven't done everything. There are some things you haven't done, or maybe even paths you have not walked, and yet if you would have just stopped before you walked, well, you wouldn't believe what happened to me and the trouble that I got myself into. Well, did you seek any counsel? No, I just checked my balance on my Visa and it was full. I turned to my friend, but he was too drunk to give me the right answer. Yeah. See, that's why the book of Proverbs ultimately points us beyond man's wisdom to the wisdom of God, which is embodied in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus in your life, there's no way to be truly wise. I want you to know that. What does the Bible say? When you get the Holy Ghost, it'll teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded you. God will give you avenues, wisdom. He'll give you a spirit of discretion when it's necessary. He'll give you understanding. He'll turn you into paths, and you're going to go, and they'll go, man, you been at Bible college? Nope. Just read my Bible, faith with God, and I pray, and I read my Bible. Oh, wow, man. That was really a smart move. What do you think? No. Thank you, Jesus, for that one. Next slide, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know how to navigate life? Look in your Bible. And just how? Come on. How do you get that kind of godly wisdom? Come on, how? Next slide. The scripture. Colossians 3:16. It's the scripture. Ready? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Man, you can quote scripture and you know your Bible and yeah? Read it. Our Bible presents to us in many different forms, and it gives us the access to all of God's wisdom if you choose to read it. Amen. That's why I'm a Bible-believing pastor, the place where you bring your Bible. I know we put it up on the screen, but that's not for your benefit. It's not even for the benefit of lazy saints. It's for those that are online and maybe somebody that's new. But where is Colossians? Where is Corinthians? Where is Thessalonians? Where is Philemon? Where is Hosea, Micah, Nahum? Aren't they friends from the Old Testament? How about, where do you get this kind of godly wisdom? Well, we've heard about the scripture. Well, how about through prayer? You know what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Can I give you a kind of an insight here? What do I do? God, what should I do? He'll give you an impression. He'll give you a scripture. Somebody will speak wisdom in your ear. You'll turn to somebody for godly counsel, and they'll give you the godly counsel. Where did that come from? Well, they have a how-to book. No, they're in connection through prayer themselves for God. See, prayer is a powerhouse in concerns to the life of a child of God. Why? Because making decisions based on the principles of God is the only avenue through which the Spirit of God is able to both lead us and will guide us in the direction that God would have us to go in. You have not because you ask not. Well, how do you do this? Well, let's go right back. Just how do you get that kind of godly wisdom? Well, we found out it was through the scriptures, and we just discovered that it's through prayer. When how about through the preached word? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. My mind, as far as the Word of God is a sponge. You absorb it. You hear it. You make it a part of your life. I've been using that word a lot lately, called impartation, or impart to you. Take it home. See, we're in a position right now, church, as we begin even this series, just like I preached on Sunday. How many of you forgot about Sunday morning today? Not tomorrow. Today. Today. What if Jesus came back today? I wonder if he behind. Yeah, that was just message Sunday. This is now Wednesday. How about imposition? We come to a service. What do we expect? What are we looking for? I want that preached word to do what? To invigorate me, to convict me, to drive in my soul a hunger and a desire to want to live for God. I want to be imparted wisdom. And that wisdom comes through an anointed, apostolic, God-led, spirit-filled pastor, minister, preacher. That was extra. God uses the preached word to convict, to direct, to admonish, to correct, to seek to lead us in the paths of righteousness. Everybody said amen? Amen. Yeah. Preaching is what leads a soul to Calvary, and through the preached word it is and will be what keeps us on the road to our eternal destination called heaven. See, while the book of Proverbs deals with life hacks, of which we're going to find more about, for our everyday existence, it also contains an eternal perspective that is often missed. Would you turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12? And we're going to read verse number 28. The book of Proverbs, chapter 12, and verse 28. Here we go. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Yeah, I know. We're born to die. This flesh is heading from its young age to its middle age to its elder age to its final age. But guess what? The way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway of living for God, there is no death, because I'm going to eternally be with Christ one day. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. The probabilities, church, of Proverbs don't all come to pass in this life. But you can be assured that the promises of God with all will all come to pass, either here on this earth or someday in heaven. He doesn't skip his promise. Because your life doesn't end at the grave, as I just noted. So keep walking as we stand together. Keep walking with God faithfully and keep praying to God fervently. Our final slide tonight, and it says, living wisely is always worth it. Not there. I ate it. Living wisely is always worth it. Think about what we said tonight and just let it blow right past you and miss it. But no. I'm going to think about what you said. I might even listen to it again online another time. Pull it up and listen to it. When you're reading your Bible, it's not a book. It's not a Harlequin romance. It's not a murder mystery. It's a book of life. It's a book of words for your life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you tonight. God, impart to us as a church life hacks. Help to give us the guidelines to avoid